good evening, and welcome to Out of a Pure Heart Ministries, an evening with Jesus and the Word. This is your host, Evangelist Teresa Scott, and I'd like to take this time to thank you for joining me as we get into the Word of God. If you have called our number, area code 323-693-3054, please press the 1 if you have a question or comment, and you will be placed into the caller queue. Otherwise, if you're joining us in the chat room, you may place your question or comment there. I invite you to sit back, relax, get your Bible, your pen, and your paper, and get ready to feast on the Word of God. God bless you.
Father God, to please forgive us for our sins and our shortcomings. Hallelujah, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Father, we come before you in your presence to glorify you and thank you, Lord God, for all that you've done for us, all that you're going to do for us, Lord God, and what you're doing for us right now. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, we bless your name. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit will come. Hallelujah, and teach this broadcast on tonight in the name of Jesus. Father, we decrease, oh God, that you might increase, oh God, in the name of Jesus, that you will get the glory, Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I bless your name, oh God. I thank you. I give you praise. I give you glory. I give you honor. Hallelujah. Glory to God in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray for any person who may be listening live tonight or who may be listening in the archives, oh God, that, hallelujah, they will be saved, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, glory to God. Those that are suffering from depression or any type of mind ailment or anything, oh God, that will keep them from knowing you, oh God, we just bind it up right now in the name of Jesus. Lord God, and we call them into the kingdom of light, Lord, in the name of Jesus, and we thank you, oh God. Father, I just thank you and I bless your name, oh God. Hallelujah. Help us to be hearers of your word tonight, Lord God. Hearers and doers of your word tonight, oh God, in the name of Jesus. As we come, Lord God, and get an understanding of what you want us to know, Father. I thank you for that in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, I give you praise and I give you glory and I give you honor in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. That is a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful piece by Dennis Latham. I don't know if you guys know, but hallelujah. He is usually on Jesus in the Morning. And yes, Minister Desiree, we are unfortunately on at the same time, TLO Ministries and I, because I had a change in the timing of my schedule at work, so I had to do it at this time. So, and we're doing a special broadcast on tonight because we are actually lost my train of thought that quick. We're actually continuing on what we were doing last night. Since we had a guest on last night, Stacey Lattisaw, who spoke with us, then we are going to go over Chapter 9 in the book. So that's what we're doing on tonight. I don't know, Minister Desiree, if you have the book, Battlefield of the Mind with Joyce Meyer, written by Joyce Meyer. She did give us permission to use her book, so long as we mention her name. So that's what we're doing tonight. We're going to be doing it on Mondays, but again, because we had the special guest on last night, we're doing it on tonight. And I'd like to say good evening to Pastor Felicia, to Mama B, Minister Desiree, guest 2352, and guest 2331. Thank you so much for joining us on tonight. Let me just say something. Tomorrow night we are truly expecting Ernest Pugh to be on the broadcast tomorrow night. He was expected on the 31st, but because of a conflict in his schedule, he was unable to be on the broadcast. So he is scheduled to be on tomorrow evening. So far I have not heard of any cancellation for him appearing on tomorrow night, but we are expecting him on tomorrow night. Let me say it that way. Pastor Felicia?
Yes, ma'am.
How are you tonight?
Amen. I'm yet making it, yet holding on. Amen.
Okay.
I had a situation where I woke up this morning and my 14-year-old daughter was not in the house, in her room or anywhere, so...
Did you find her?
Yeah, she finally came home this afternoon, so.
Lord, I can't even imagine what that was like.
She's not a bad girl or whatever at all, but I guess she got upset because she wanted to go to a party, and I said no. You know, and she decided to leave anyway, you know, so anyway, y'all keep me in prayer, you know, but I will not conform, or I will not, you know, lighten up, you know, because, you know, it's a charge on me to, you know, to train them up, right, so,
amen. Yeah, well, we're going to pray for you and for your daughter. And we're going to come to the spirit of disobedience because we don't want that to, you know, linger. And we know the enemy is going to try us every way he can try us, especially when we're getting free in some areas. So he wants to come another way. But we rebuke Satan in the name of Jesus, and we claim the victory tonight for you and your daughter in the name of Jesus. And I want to say good evening to Evangelist Michelle Bless. And we did enjoy you this morning on Jesus in the Morning. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And thank you so much for joining us this evening. If you want to call in and get on the line, Evangelist Michelle, 323-693-3054. Again, that's area code 323-693-3054.
because I know that the Lord uses you mightily. And Minister Desiree, if you'd like to call in, if God has given you anything to say, please call in at 323-693-3054. 323-693-3054 and press the number 1. Amen. I wanted to make the announcement that we do have prayer at 6 o'clock in the morning, and it is on freeconferencecall.com that we use. And if anybody would like to join us in praying in the morning, I would so appreciate it. I really would. The phone number for that is 1-760-984-1000. And I don't have Pastor Felicia tonight to help me in the chat room, but I'm going to go ahead and try to type it while I'm talking, which I really can't do well. But I'm going to go ahead and try it.
My internet is really down today, but they'll be back. They're supposed to be out
right
tomorrow.
I know, because they were asking for you this morning at Jesus in the Morning, and I kind of explained it to them that you had a problem going on with your line outside, so because they were missing you. So this is the number. It's 760-984-1000. And the access code is 438-416. And I'm sorry, but I should have put the pound sign. Okay, put the pound sign after the access code, and then you'll be able to get in with the prayer. If you have something that God has laid on your heart to pray about, then please do so. And if there's something that you desire prayer for, please let us know, and we will pray. Glory to God. She said, isn't it nice we have these tools at our hands to spread the gospel? Yes, it is, Minister Desiree. Yes, it is. And we need to work on getting you on here. If you can be on the broadcast, and Minister Michelle, Evangelist Michelle, you back on, and Pastor Desiree, because, her sister still need help over here. And I do have access to 7 days a week. I do have access to 7 days a week for Blog Talk Radio. If anybody needs a spot, let me know, and maybe you can take a day, or if the Lord has something that he wants you to say or do and you need to use this platform, you're more than welcome to do so, because this, I don't believe this is just for me to speak. I know that God has given you mighty women of God things to say as well, so the platform is open for you on Tuesdays. Thursdays, I have Bible study. Well, my husband has Bible study here at our apartment, and what I want to try to do is try to get a live broadcast, so we'll see what happens. But we do have Saturday and Sunday as well available. So just let me know what you guys want to do, if you want to do anything at all. We have some more things coming down the pike in October. We're looking to have a women's conference here in Philadelphia. But we'll give you more information as that progresses along, the planning with that. Okay? Okay, amen, amen, amen. Now, Minister Felicia, the book, Pastor Felicia, the book, The Battlefield of the Mind, the commemorative edition, the hardcover, the newest one, the updated one, is slightly different than the one you and I have. I did find my other copy of the new one, and it is slightly different because my sister was telling me that she couldn't follow along last night because there were some different things in there. It's just a couple of paragraphs in that chapter that she added on to.
Okay.
So I think I'm going to read out of the new book, out of the commemorative edition, because it's updated, and everybody else that I've been speaking to, they have the updated version. So I'm not sure if you want that one or how you want to do that, because I think we all should be on the same page. Minister Desiree said, moving right along. Yes, it is a powerful book, Evangelist Michelle. And the thing about it is that it's like, duh. Like, we didn't know this stuff started in our minds. We actually did know it, but sometimes somebody can just say something and you just have one of those moments. You can be like, duh. So that's where I was when I picked up the book, but I was in such bad shape when I finally did pick the book up and read it, that everything that I read ministered to me. I was having conflict in my mind. Just confused, you know, wandering, wondering, all just crazy stuff was going on in my mind. So at the right time, God allowed me to read this Battlefield of the Mind, and I do believe that this book was anointed, that she was anointed by God when she was given this book to read, to write. I believe that with all my heart, because everybody that reads it, whoever's going through something, they understand, they get an understanding of what's going on, and if they begin to follow the principles that's laid within, then they begin to see some things happening. But the funny thing is what we do is we read other people's book and we won't read the word. We'll read else's book and won't read the word. The author of the 66 books, we will not read his word. And he wants us to read his word. And that's one of the things I like about her book is that she does incorporate scripture. She incorporates scripture. And she has to, because this stuff comes from God. It comes from God. This is not something that, you know, was just for Joyce. No, it came from the word. The things that she's saying is scripturally sound. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not carnal. They're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down what? Imagination. The stuff that we think about, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Every thought to the obedience of Christ. And Hubby says, just like our Father, his thoughts in the beginning are things manifested. And he spoke what he thought. He spoke it, and it came to be. And a lot of times the things that we think about, that's why we got to read that chapter 2 that says, think about what you're thinking about. We can meditate on things all day long, and it's not even the word of God. We meditate on foolishness all day long. Like if we actually sat down and thought about what we think about, I think we'd be surprised at the things we actually think about. You know, just ridiculous, ridiculous, ridiculous stuff. And we have to make our minds up what we want to do. So, I read the chapter 9, and Minister Desiree, I keep saying Minister Desiree because I see her name on the chat room. But Pastor Felicia, if you want to read on tonight, that would be good. Because I'm still having warfare over here, glory to God. But I know where my help is. Hallelujah, glory to God. My help comes from the Lord. Amen. So, Minister Desiree and Evangelist Michelle and Mama B, if y'all want to call, the number is 323-693-3054 if you guys want to get on the line and have anything to say which pertains to a wandering, wondering mind. If you have anything to say about a wandering, wondering mind, then call in and press the 1 and I'll get you on the line. So let's see. Minister Desiree said Psalm 121, and since she put it up there, we're going to go ahead and read it. Where is my Bible? It's right here. I can't see. We're going to read Psalm 121 and see what that says. Psalm 121, I'm going to read it in the King James Bible. It says here, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. I like this because it keeps saying the Lord shall preserve. The Lord shall preserve. The Lord shall preserve. That means it is so. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. He will do it. He shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. I love the scriptures when it says what the Lord shall do. I love it because it's just saying that he said it and that's it. It's over with. It's over with. He shall. And Pastor Felicia, I know that's ministering to you right now because your help comes from the Lord. The situation with your daughter, your help comes from the Lord. And that's just the way it is. Your help comes from the Lord. And when you stand your ground, the Lord's going to stand for you. And we thank God that you are a praying mother and that, you know, the enemy has to flee. You know, you have some praying woman here in the chat room that will stand in agreement with you on this situation. Mm-hmm. And we just thank God for deliverance and thank God for the testimony in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Okay. Evangelist Michelle, you have to go now. You'll come back if I can. God bless. Go for everyone in the chat room. Stand still and know that he is God. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you as you go to minister on tonight in the name of Jesus and souls be saved and delivered in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. She says, I will keep you in prayer, Minister Desiree. You're welcome. You're welcome. Have a blessed night. I know you will. Glory to God. And we look forward to speaking with you in the morning, if the Lord says so. Okay? So you want to start reading Pastor Felicia in chapter 9?
Yes, ma'am. We're just going to start at the wandering mind, or are we going to start at the beginning?
At the very beginning, because some people on the line weren't on here last night.
Okay, remember, my book is going to read a little different. Amen.
Right, and when I see mine stop, then I'll start where you where it differs.
Amen. A wandering mind. Amen. It has a scripture which is 1 Peter. Chapter 1, verse 13, it says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Amen. It says, in the previous chapter, we stated that a mind too busy is abnormal. Another condition of the mind is that abnormal is for it to be wandering all over the place. An inability to concentrate indicates mental attack from the devil. Many people have spent years allowing their minds to wander because they have never applied principles of discipline to their thought life. Excuse me. Quite often, people who cannot seem to concentrate think they are mentally deficient. However, an inability to concentrate can be the result of letting the mind do whatever it wants to do, whenever it wants to do it. A lack of concentration can be also a symptom of vitamin deficiency. Certain B vitamins enhance concentration. Therefore, if you have an inability to concentrate, ask yourself if you're eating right and are nutritionally sound. Extreme fatigue can also affect concentration. I have found that when I am excessively tired, Satan will try to attack my mind because he knows it is more difficult to resist him during these times. The devil wants you and me to think that we are mentally deficient, so we will not attempt to do anything to cause him problems. He wants us to passively accept whatever lies he tells us. One of our daughters had difficulty concentrating during her childhood years. Reading was difficult for her because concentration and comprehension go hand in hand. Many children and even some adults don't comprehend what they read. Their eyes scan the words on the page, but their minds do not really understand what is being read. Often, a lack of comprehension is the result of a lack of concentration. I know that for myself, I can read a chapter in the Bible or a book and all of a sudden realize that I do not know what I have read at all. I can go back and read it again, and it all seems new to me, because even though my eyes were scanning the words on the page, my mind had wandered off somewhere else because I did not stay focused on what I was doing. I failed to comprehend what I was reading. Often, the real problem behind a lack of comprehension is a lack of attention caused by a wandering mind.
All right. Now we're going to continue the book difference a little bit here. Area code 240, thank you for joining us tonight. If you'd like to make a comment or have a question, would you please press the 1 so we can get you on the line? Thank you. It says, recently Dave and I and a couple we are friends with in Utah were riding in the car together. Simultaneously, the other couple and I heard Dave say, "I bless myself." We laughed when we all realized that even though Dave had sneezed loudly, none of us consciously heard him because we had all gone somewhere else in our minds. I spoke up and said, "Sorry, I didn't hear you. I was in the office in St. Louis." The man in the back seat laughed and said, "I was in Florida taking care of some business." His wife laughed too and said, "I was in Dallas in my office handling a situation." In a few moments of time, the three of us had all gone to another state mentally. It showed us how quickly the mind can wander from what is really happening where we are. We laughed because Dave had to bless himself since none of us were mentally there. It was funny, but it was also eye-opening to realize how we can lose awareness of what is happening around us but not focusing on the present. Questions, comments? Go back to the chat room. Questions or comments? Okay, Mama B left. I'm sorry, I didn't see it. I didn't see her leave. Okay, she left. But good evening, 4259. I was wondering where you were. And good evening, guest 2416. We are reading on tonight the continuation from yesterday. Because on Mondays we are reading The Battlefield of the Mind by Joyce Meyer. But because we had a guest on last night, we're continuing with it on tonight. So I don't know if you guys have that book or you know anything about the book on Joyce Meyer, but that's what we're discussing tonight. And the chapter that we're discussing tonight is Chapter 9. It's called A Wandering, Wondering Mind. A Wandering, Wondering Mind. And so we were just reading that, and we're going to finish reading it, and then we're going to go ahead and discuss it. So, Pastor Felicia, you can start with A Wandering Mind.
Amen. A Wandering Mind. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "Keep your foot," or it says, "Give your mind to what you are doing." Give your mind to what you are doing. I believe the expression "keep your foot" means don't lose your balance or get off track. The amplification of this phrase indicates that one stays on track by keeping his mind on what he is doing. I had a wandering mind and had to train it by discipline. It was not easy, and sometimes I still have a relapse. While trying to complete some project, I will suddenly realize that my mind has just wandered off onto something else that has nothing to do with the issue at hand. I have not yet arrived at a place of perfect concentration, but at least I understand how important it is not to allow my mind to go wherever it wishes, whenever it desires. Webster's Dictionary defines the word wander as, one, to move about aimlessly, roam, two, to go by an indirect route or at no set pace. Amble, to proceed in an irregular course or action. Meander, to think or express oneself unclearly or incoherently. If you are like me, you can be sitting in a church service, listening to the speaker, really enjoying and benefiting from what is being said when suddenly your mind begins to wander. After a while, you wake up to find that you don't remember a thing that has been going on. Even though your body stayed in church, your mind has been at the shopping center browsing through the stores or home in the kitchen cooking dinner. Remember, in spiritual warfare, the mind is the battlefield. That is where the enemy makes his attack. He knows very well that even though a person attends church, if he can't keep his mind on what is being taught, he will gain absolutely nothing by being there. The devil knows that a person cannot discipline himself to complete a project if he cannot discipline his mind and keep it on what he is doing. This mind-wandering phenomenon also occurs during conversation. There are times when my husband Dave is talking to me, and I listen for a while, then all of a sudden I realize that I have not heard a thing that he has been saying. Why? Because I allowed my mind to wander off on something else. My body was standing there appearing to listen, yet in my mind I heard nothing. For many years, when this sort of thing happened, I would pretend that I knew exactly what Dave was saying. Now I stop and say, can you back up and repeat that? I let my mind wander off, and I did not hear a thing you said. In this way, I feel that at least I am dealing with the problem. Confronting issues is the only way to get on the victorious side of them. I have decided that if the devil went to the trouble to attack me with a wandering mind, then perhaps something was being said that I needed to hear. One way to combat the enemy in this area is by taking advantage of the cassette tapes provided by most churches. If you haven't yet learned to discipline your mind to keep it on what is being said in church, then buy a tape of the sermon each week and listen to it as many times as you need in order to get the message. The devil will give up when he sees that you are not going to give in. Remember, Satan wants you to think that you are mentally deficient, that something is wrong with you. But the truth is, you need to begin disciplining your mind. Don't let it run all over town doing whatever it pleases. Begin today to keep your foot, amen, to keep your mind on what you're doing. You will need to practice for a while. Breaking old habits and forming new ones always take time, but it is worth it in the end. Amen?
Okay, and then here it says, the present moment is the greatest gift we have from God, but if we are not present, we miss it.
Wow.
If we're not present, we miss it. Okay?
That's
and
cool.
I don't want to stop here. I don't want to stop here because I want us to finish reading the chapter because we're almost done. But there's a couple of points when you get finished reading it that we really need to go back over because she was talking about me straight up in this book. Go ahead.
Right. Amen. A wondering mind. It says, truly I tell you, whoever says to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt at all in his heart, but believes that what he says will take place, it will be done for him. For this reason, I am telling you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe, which means trust and be confident, that it is granted to you and you will get it. That was Mark, the 11th chapter, verses 23 and 24. Faced with one thing or another, I frequently began to hear myself say, I wonder. For example, I wonder what the weather will be like tomorrow. I wonder what I should wear to the party. I wonder what kind of grades Danny, which is her son, will get on his report card. I wonder how many people will show up at the seminar. The dictionary partially defines the word wonder in the noun form as a feeling of puzzlement or doubt. Wow. And in the verb form, to be filled with curiosity or doubt. I have come to learn that I am much better off to do something positive than to just wonder all the time about everything imaginable. Instead of wondering what kind of grades Danny will get, I can believe that he will make good grades. Rather than wondering what I should wear to the party, I can decide what to wear. Instead of wondering about the weather or about how many people will attend one of my meetings, I can just turn the matter over to the Lord, trusting him to work out all things for good regardless of what happens.
Amen.
There's
an update right here. There's an update right here, so I'm just going to read that update and then finish it out because this is the end of it. Very short chapter. It says, update, our son Danny did not like school and struggled all the way through, so So I did a lot of wondering about him and his future. I thought you would enjoy knowing that he is currently the CEO at Joyce Meyer Ministries. All my wondering was wasted time. God knew his future and had everything under control. Although some wondering about things is normal, if it is excessive, it can leave a person in indecision, and indecision causes confusion. Wondering, W-O-N-D-E-R-I-N-G, wondering, indecision, and confusion prevent an individual from receiving from God by faith the answer to his prayer or need. Let me read that again. Wondering, indecision, and confusion prevent an individual from receiving from God by faith the answer to his prayer or need. Notice that in Mark 11:23-24, Jesus did not say, whatever you ask for in prayer, wonder if you will get it. Instead, he said, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you will receive it, and you will. As Christians, as believers, we are to believe, not doubt. That is the end of chapter 9.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? We are to believe and not doubt as believers. And I like what she says in 11:24, in Mark 11:24. She said, notice that it does not say, whatever you ask for in prayer, wonder if you will get it. Instead, he said, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you will receive it and you shall have it. I really like that. That was one of my first scriptures that I learned by heart, Mark 11:22-24. So do you have any comments, Pastor Felicia, anybody in the chat room, on the phone line? Do you have any comments? We do have someone on the line, area code 513, with they pressed the number 1. So let me see what they have to say. Good evening, area code 513. Welcome to Out of a Pure Heart Ministries.
Hello, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Oh, I'm wonderful. Listen, I just love your excerpt from Mark. It really touched me. And I'd just like to say, one thing. Do you respect Howard Stern's penis? Fuck.
The devil is a liar.
Oh, they are so funny when they do that.
The devil can do out of anybody if you let him.
You know what, though, what's funny is that the thing about it is that they're going to get saved anyway. They're going to get saved, and they just because they come through here, they are going to get saved, and God is going to deliver you. I believe that you are going to get saved. And just because of the words that you're using and saying like that, we're just going to pray for you right now. As we kick you out of the chat room, we're going to pray for you right now because we believe that you came to this chat room to be born again. You didn't even know that Satan was using you and directing you to the kingdom of light. So, Lambkins, we're going to pray for you in the name of Jesus. And those of you that I know everybody in the chat room, everybody else knows how to pray. So let's just pray for Lambkins right now in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just really thank you today, Lord God. Hallelujah. We thank you and bless you today, for Lord God, for we know that you are Lord, and we know that there is no other God beside you. Hallelujah. Father, we lift up Lambkins to you, Lord God, and we ask you first, God, to forgive Lambkins for what he or she just did because they don't even know what they did. Father, we know, oh God, in the name of Jesus, they have just been used by Satan. But, God, we ask in the name of Jesus that since they came by, since they came to the chat room, I don't believe it was by mistake, Lord God. I believe that it was ordained for Lambkins to get born again. So, Father, I just pray for Lambkins right now in the name of Jesus for their soul, that they will be born again in the name of Jesus. I pray, Father God, that the God of this world will, the blindness that the God of this world has placed on his or her eyes, that the blindness will come off in the name of Jesus, oh God, and that you will begin to minister to that person right now in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, I pray, oh God, that you will renew that person in their mind, God, in the name of Jesus. And God, if this is just a seed that is being planted, oh God, because they were on the phone line for a little while listening to the word. So, Father, I pray, Lord God, that if we planted a seed, Lord God, or if we're watering a seed, that you will just give the increase so Lambkins can be saved, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. And, Father, I just thank you for it right now. I give you praise, Lord God. I glorify you right now, Father God, for his or her soul being saved. In the name of Jesus, glory to God. Hallelujah. And I do not count this, Lord God, as a distraction, but I count it as an intervention for this person's soul being saved in the name of Jesus, Father God. And I thank you for it now. And I give you praise, glory, and honor in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Amen. 4259 said that soul needs help. Yes, that soul definitely needs help, and he or she does not know what they just did. But it's okay, because I believe that they are going to be saved in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Minister Desiree, Pastor Felicia, y'all two, these names. Pastor Felicia, if you have anything to say that you wanted to expound on, go right ahead.
Hallelujah. My mind just went somewhere else.
Wandering? Is your mind wandering?
Hallelujah. Amen. But it's something that I was going to write in the book that I have now. It was something that was stated about if you're not present.
Yes.
Or
not being present. You could be there, but you're not present. It says the present moment is the greatest gift we have from God, but if we are not present, we miss it. I don't know if that was the part you were talking about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I wanted to write that as a gift from God. Yeah, I wanted to write that down in this book. That is very important. You know, when you think about it, the present moment is a gift from God. And if you're not present, what else to say?
You're going to miss it. If we are not present, we miss it.
And it's so funny because you're right there, you know, right in the flesh at that time, amen, to receive, you know, whatever God has for us, amen, but we allow our minds to wander and we allow distractions to come to take us off course and we'll miss it, you know, and we could be missing whatever, you know, whatever something that God is trying to tell us. Amen. People who God want us to minister to, you know what I mean? We'll miss it. So it's very important that we, glorify, you know, thank God for all, you know, every minute, every second, every day of every hour, and take time to, you know, acknowledge, you know, all that he has given us.
And we don't do that. We don't do that. We don't thank him for every minute, every second, every hour of the day. I'm going to say I don't, because I don't. I'm not that present where I can be there because life happens. But I do understand what you're saying, that we do need to, you know, thank God and thank him for, you know, giving us these moments, because without these moments we wouldn't even be here. But there's a couple of points that I wanted to talk about in this chapter, I think, are very, very necessary to go back and visit. I think that she was talking about training our minds to concentrate, training our minds not to wander. And the one part where she was talking about where you could be in church and the message could be all great and everything, and at some point you were listening to the message, but then at some point you just totally left. Your body is still there, but your mind left. I don't know how many of you can attest to that, but I know for myself, I have done that, okay? I have totally and completely left the building in my mind and went somewhere else, and then had to say, well, what did he or she say? What did they say? Now, nobody wants to give you, you know, take their attention off trying to tell you what they said because you were not listening. But this happens, you know, you sitting there, you be like, oh, my gosh, I was always over there. And that also lets me know that God, when he made us, God was so creative in making us. He made us this stuff in our head, this thing called a brain, this gray matter. Sometimes I think about it, and I'm like, God, how do thoughts stay in here? It's stuff. It's gray, ugly, nasty-looking stuff, and thoughts actually reside in here somewhere. How did you do that? Like he's going to tell me, like I will be able to understand what he's going to tell me anyway. But it's like, God, you made us. Our bodies are fearfully, we're fearfully and wonderfully made. This is so intricate thing that God did. It's like when you sit and think about it, you was like, this brain actually holds these thoughts, and this brain can go back and it can think about this thing and it can think about that thing. Simultaneously, you can just be at all these other places while your body is still sitting here, and we do that. And like I said last night, when we go into prayer, what happens? Minister Desiree in the chat room. We go into prayer. Our minds begin to wander. Our minds begin to wander when we go in prayer. When we sit down and try to read the word, what happens? Our minds begin to wander. We start thinking about everything. Lord have mercy if you got in an argument with somebody during the day. Lord have mercy if something happened at the store, the price tag was wrong, or something happened, whatever the case was. What happened? We start thinking about something else, and while we're reading the Word of God, our eyes are scanning it, just like she said in the book. Our eyes are scanning what's on the page, but we're not comprehending anything we're reading because we haven't trained our mind to sit still and concentrate on whatever it is that we're reading. Okay, and we do have Minister Desiree. Good evening and welcome to Out of a Pure Heart Ministries.
Hello, Miss Felicia, Miss Teresa. How are you today?
We are so fine. How are you?
I'm doing good. I want to say two things. One was the verse that you used out of Luke 11:9, and when she said, remember that God didn't use the word wander when you pray. He didn't say wander. I think why we wander when we pray to God is because I don't think we're really 100% sure that he's going to answer it according to the way how we would like him to answer that prayer. Because think about it. When we pray to God, there's a part of us that get up off our knees and is like, okay, now, Lord, if you answer it this way. It's like we're trying to figure out what way God is going to answer that prayer. And then we'll say, okay, no, I'm not going to think that. So we get our mind off of that. The next day, we still wonder. And if it turns out the same way, then we're so excited. But then when it don't turn out the same way how we expect, then we're like, oh, God, I guess God didn't answer it.
My.
And about the wandering part, when you mentioned how you would sit in church, our mind does wander. You know, and I think the reason it's because Satan don't want us to receive that blessing.
And that's the truth.
Mm-hmm. We have to remember that in the beginning, in Genesis, he was after that seed. And any time a seed is going to be planted within us, he will try his darndest. And I mean, I know with me, when it comes to praying, everything happens. I don't have to yarn whatsoever. But the moment I go into my room and say, I'm going to pray and leave me alone until I come out the room, I'm in there yarning.
Yes.
I'm coughing, I'm sneezing, my mind is going someplace else, and it takes 20 minutes just to shut my mind down.
Yes.
And then I spent 20 minutes thinking about all this stuff, but at first I wasn't thinking about none of this. Now all of a sudden all these things come up. What I got to do tomorrow? Well, what am I going to do when I'm finished prayer? Well, how long am I going to pray? You know, all these things come out of mind, and it's known as you got to discipline your mind and filter all that junk out. And the enemy loves putting it in there, because if he can get you wandering to something else, then you're going to miss your blessing. So that's why when she said in that one word about you stay in that spot so you don't miss it, is that you stand still, because if your mind starts to wander and it goes for a long period of time, it's only a matter of moments when an opportunity presents itself that you're going to do the very thing that you're wondering about. That's why I believe why she calls it the mind is the battlefield, because it starts in our mind. You know, Satan likes to place sin in our mind, and if we think about it long enough, we're going to do it. You know, and she's right. Instead of telling out saying, well, that I don't know how many people are going to show up, just say, well, Lord, I'm doing it anyway. If they think about how many people, why do we care who shows up? If they show up, they show up. If they don't, they don't. But see,
that's
we wonder because they're like, man, if that many people show up, then that means I'm success. I have a lot of success here, and this went off in a good. And this went off very good. But if nobody shows up, then we look like, oh man, I was a failure. Nobody showed up. I didn't really hear from God. Well, maybe God just want to see how obedient you are, and don't worry about how many people show up. It's just you and Him. That wondering thing can be a tricky thing.
I like what you said, though, because that part of the book where she did say, you know, instead of wondering, you know, how many people are going to show up, that's really good because your mind does take you to those places. Even with Blog Talk Radio, there was a point in time where it was like when I first started, I just had to go back and see, you know, how many people were on the line, how many people listened, you know, how many people were, you know, I would be like, oh, my God, if it was only two people on the line or it was only one person in the chat room and maybe it was nobody in the chat room at all, I would get upset. I'd be like, oh, my God, nobody wants to listen. You know, and then I'm serious. And my mind used to wonder about it, and then it would wander because it would go different places and be like, oh, my God, they're not there. You know, and then God had to put me in check. Well, why are you really doing the broadcast? You know, it's about you, so you can, you know, get all the why are you really doing the broadcast? And when he got me in check with that, I was at ease. I was fine. It was to the point, and it still is to that point, that if nobody shows up, God, I know you're going to use this broadcast in some way for somebody somewhere. And even if it was just for me, maybe it was something that you had for me to receive. And that's the way I look at it now. I don't get stressed out about it. And I'm telling you, I used to go crazy with this stuff. And even when, because we've been doing it for a year now, so, I mean, God has taught me some things in that year about doing this broadcast. Like, you know, you got to make sure you're doing it not for you because you want to be popular and you want this and you want this and you want this. No, you got to make sure your motives for doing it are right. And
that's
so
right.
This is what he was teaching me. And I do thank God for that lesson because if you're not careful, that stuff will come in, and then next thing you know, you're sitting on pride. Huh?
Yep.
Pride will cause you to sit there and count the numbers. That what happened to David. God told him not to count, and he counted anyway. And what happened? He had a whole big problem because he went against God and did what God told him not to do. So pride goes before destruction and the haughty spirit before a fall. That's why I thank God for what he does, because he does put us in check. And he causes us to think about why we're doing things. The battlefield is in the mind. He causes us to really think, why are you doing this? My son Jesus went to the cross out of a pure heart. He had no other motive but for y'all to get saved. That was it. That was his only motive. There was nothing else. And this is what I declare and decree, that my motive is for people to be born again, to get delivered, to get set free, okay? It's not a popularity contest. Now, if more people will come and listen, I ain't going to lie and tell you I wouldn't like for more people to come listen, because I would. I mean, nobody wants to just sit and talk to themselves all the time, okay? But the motive behind it is because I want you to learn something that you didn't know, and I want you to apply it to your life so that you can go further in the Lord. Or if you're here to get saved, that you'll get saved. If you're here to get delivered, then you'll get delivered. These are my motives for doing this. So if it wasn't for God bringing that to my attention, that what I was thinking in my mind was against him, I would still be there doing that. So we get attacked in our minds. We get attacked in our minds on a regular basis. And what we need to do is we need to fight the warfare the right way, because it's a spiritual battle, and we tend not to fight it the right way. You know, we say things and we, you know, want to fight it with our mouths and do everything else instead of doing it with the Word of God and through prayer. And I think that was you, Minister Desiree, when you said before you start praying or before you start reading your Bible, you don't yawn not one time. And I thought that you said that, because I thought it was just me. Like, every time, no matter what, anything else, as soon as I go to pray, I start yawning. As soon as I go to read, I start yawning. My eyes start hurting. I get a headache. You know, something's going on. It's like, oh, I just can't stay up right now. I'll read it tomorrow morning. Then I go to sleep feeling all guilty because I didn't read the Word or I didn't pray. You know, it is just like it's a vicious cycle if you don't take control over it.
That's right. You got to take control over it.
Amen.
I wonder, do men go through this stuff? I wonder, do men actually have the battles in their minds like we do? Because they don't talk about it. One thing about us women, we talk and we say things. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if 4259 is a male or a female. But 4259, if you are a man, would you please respond in the chat room and let me know Do you guys have these battles in your brains like we do? I mean, because women,
they deal with them a little different than we do.
Okay, well, maybe we need to have a lesson on that one day, Minister Desiree. Maybe you could come in and take a broadcast one night.
I don't know nothing about that. I just know that I can only go by how he deals with things. If I'm upset and I'm flustered and things on my mind, he's a whole lot different. He's more calmer. Men have a different way how they work things out because they're more visionary. We are more emotional. So, if we're having a good day, everybody's going to know it because we show it. You know, they keep things to themselves. They have a different way of letting it out.
Well, we are very emotional creatures. We're very emotional, us females. I don't know. We just really are. Another thing that she says I thought was really good was that she says, remember, in spiritual warfare, the mind is the battlefield. That is where the enemy makes his attack. He knows very well that even though a person attends church, and I love this part, even though a person attends church, if he can't keep his mind on what is being taught, he will gain absolutely nothing by being there. So this is why I tell people all the time, you go to church all you want to. You go to church all you want. The devil don't care if you go to church. What threatens him is if you learn something. If you come out there renewed in your mind, that's what threatens him. You can go to church all day long and still come out the same way. It wouldn't bother him a bit. Mm-hmm.
No, because he'll sit right next to you in church.
Yeah.
Right beside
her. I'm serious. He will sit right next beside you while you are in church to avoid you from getting that word. Because remember, the Bible said as soon as the word is given, if we don't put it in our heart, the enemy is right there to snatch it right from us.
That's
so
right.
So that goes to show he's in church. That's why he don't want us getting that word. Because he knows if we got that word, we will become a dangerous arsenal. We can do a lot of great things if we got that word in us.
Amen. Hello?
The Sister Teresa Lee?
Yes, hello.
Oh, okay.
Okay, I thought I was talking the microphone. No, I like to tell people to, it doesn't matter what I say, get your Bible. Read your Bible. Make sure what I'm saying is coming out of the Bible. Don't just take what I say and take that as that's it. No, get the Bible and read the Bible for yourself. And I'm telling people now because this is what God is telling me, to fall in love with the Word of God because that is God. Fall in love with the Word of God. Learn your Bible. If we will sit here and read our Bible and meditate on our Bible, we won't have to wander and wonder in our mind. If we will sit there and meditate and ask the Holy Spirit, teach me, help me. You know, the Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. How can we transform our minds if we don't do something actively to participate in transforming our mind? See, we want God to just automatically snap his finger and, okay, our minds are transformed. No, there's something that we have to do. There's something that we have to do as far as training our minds to stop wandering and wondering. We have to actively do that. Now, my husband went out today. Okay, he went out this morning. He was supposed to have been back home by 1 o'clock. He got home about 15 minutes after I started the broadcast. Now, a lot of the time while he was gone, my mind was wondering what was wrong because he didn't have a cell phone. I'm wondering what's wrong with my husband instead of saying, Father, I just thank you and bless you that my husband is safe in the name of Jesus, that whatever he's doing, that you're with him and you're protecting him. But no, I'm sitting here wondering, well, what's going on? Why didn't he take his phone? He knows better. What's the problem? You know, all of this is going on in my mind. I could have saved myself a headache, okay, by just praying and saying, God. And then before I got on the broadcast, I just said, you know what, God? I just turn it over to you. I'm not going to be concerned about it. I'm not going to be wondering and letting my mind wander that, oh, maybe he's hurt, maybe this. No, I just got up, got my books, got my Bible, came in my room, got on the computer, dialed the phone number, and got on the broadcast because the whole time the closer it got to do the broadcast, the enemy was saying to me, cancel the broadcast. Just cancel it because you... And I'm like, the devil, you know what? You're a liar. I'm not going to cancel this broadcast. I'm not going to do it. Mm-hmm. We're going to go ahead and do the broadcast. And he's going to come in when it's time for him to come in. So that's what happened. He's here now. And he's in there talking to whomever he's talking to, and they're doing what they're doing. And it's okay. So, you know, this is how quick we're talking about this, but it's happening to me. We're talking about this, and right before the broadcast, who got attacked into mine was me. So, see, I don't never think I'm above these lessons that come forth because I still need them. I do. I need them.
That's
and 4259 said, that's what the Bereans did when they searched the scripture out. Paul commended them for that. And the Bible does tell us to search the word of God for ourselves. We have to study to show ourselves approved unto God. We have to study the word of God, and that's how we get in relationship with him. That's how we get to know who God is. We need to read about him. We need to find out about this dude. Who is this God? Who is this Jesus? This person that died on the cross. Who is this person? You know, just like that person that came in the chat room that was very rude and was on the phone. That was very rude. They need to know who God is. They need to know who Jesus is. They need to know who the Holy Spirit is. They need to get in relationship with him because they would never be able to say those type of things if they did. Okay, and we do know that. 4259 said that that was a spirit, and we do recognize that that was a spirit. However, because the spirit used that body to come to our chat room and get on the phone line, we're going to believe that you're going to be saved and be delivered from that evil spirit in the name of Jesus. Yes, because there was a time that I would let my mind, when I first started this broadcast, they would come in the chat room and on the phone line, they would attack me so forcefully, and they would just come in, and I didn't know any better. I didn't know what to do. I'm like, oh, my God, and I would be mad at them or whatever. And then one day, out of the blue, they came in the chat room, and the Lord changed my demeanor. He gave me a whole way of thinking about this thing. And the way he has me dealing with it now, they don't stay long. You see that? They don't even come like they used to come. Every now and then they show up. But it's because of the way God had to train my mind. He had to train me because it's not a personal attack against me. It's not a personal attack against Teresa. It's an attack against the word of God. It's an attack against the kingdom of God because Satan doesn't want anything to go forth in the kingdom of God. He doesn't want people saved. He doesn't want people delivered. He wants to distract all the time. But then we got to do like Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. But the devil know what he's doing, and we got to take authority over the devil in the name of Jesus and not get into that place where Satan is, because we have authority over the devil. And if we don't train our minds to know that we have authority over the devil's going to keep running over us. See, he's supposed to flee from us. We're not supposed to flee from him. The Bible says resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God. Resist the devil, he'll flee from you. And we find ourselves running from him. We got to twist it. Let's renew our minds with the word of God. And let's see what our position is. We got to renew our minds with the word of God so we know what our position is. And then once we know what our position is, stand in that position. Work that position. Take the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God, and cut that devil up with the word of God. Come on.
Yeah.
I'm just like, ugh. So I'm going to read what 4259 says. So I guess it must be female because they didn't say that they were male when I asked that question. Y'all know I'm crazy. They said that's what the Bereans did when they searched the scriptures out. Paul commended them for that. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. You should rejoice in a situation like that. That's the devil's way of complimenting you. Means you're hurting him. When you hit a dog with a rock, it will yell out. Yes, it will. When you hit a dog with a rock, it will yell out and it will run if it's a big enough rock. It's going, yow, yow. Yeah, and then it's going to run. But we just thank God tonight. If you have something else to say, go ahead and say. Mr. Desiree?
Oh, I don't have anything to say right now, dear.
Okay, Pastor Felicia?
No, ma'am.
Okay. Well, I don't have anything else to say either. So what we're going to do is we're going to end this broadcast now because we've read the chapter. There's really nothing else to say. We already know that we got to get control. Oh, wait a minute. Wait. Before we finish. Wait. Okay. I have some questions. I do have questions. What are some reasons our minds wander? According to what we read today, what are some reasons our minds wander?
One could be, tiredness, fatigue, because you are tired.
Yes,
and,
excessive tiredness, yes, or fatigue.
I wanted to also, your diet,
yes.
The things that you, now I've got to go in the book. Let me see. I'm cheating. Amen.
Minister Desiree, did you remember any of them?
No, but you know what? What she said, that does make sense. If you are fatigued and tired, your mind's just going to wander anywhere it wants because you're too tired to think about anything. I mean, you can't even think about good things. That's why God tells us to think on things that are praiseworthy and noble and things like that. When we think on those, I call them the Golden Gate Rules. Because
okay.
If you think on those things, then you'll have time to let your mind think on foolishness. But
yes.
but we know that because we live in the flesh, we can't 24/7 be like Christ and walk in the Spirit 24/7 like he did. So that's not going to happen, but it doesn't mean that it's not impossible that we're there. Sometimes if a thought comes in our mind, then we need to do something about it. We need to bring it, get that thought out of our mind. I mean, in a way, you think about bad thoughts enter our mind, but it's not a complete bad thing if you get rid of it.
Right.
But if you let it stay there for a long period of time and you're contemplating on it, then it becomes a bad thing. So when you are tired, you don't give much thought to anything because, for one, you're physically drained, mentally drained, and your body is going to react in a certain way of being sluggish, and if you're not having a proper diet, if you had a bad day or whatever, all of that is going to affect your mind, and that's going to affect your decisions and things, how you behave. So I guess the best thing to do is just pray to God every day to have God just have touch your mind, that your mind will, that he has control of your mind. Because that is the thing that we have, is that mind, because that mind will determine what we're going to do and what we're not going to do, what we're going to say and what we're not going to say. But if we pray every day and ask God to help us with our mind, that so when you do say something that you should not have said or you hurt someone's feeling, the Spirit will quicken you real quick and you'll go like, oh, I am so sorry, please forgive me. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, and I appreciate what you just said too. And one thing that just popped in my mind too is sometimes the reason why our minds wander is because of the things that we look at and things that we allow into our spirit, into our eye gate, into our ear gate, some of the things that we allow into us. And I was here today when my husband left out, and I'm usually not home because I'm at work, but because of the recent incident, I haven't been at work. So I got a chance to look at television. Now, I don't usually get a chance to look at television because I'm at work during the day. However, I'm flipping through the stations, and these things are on that I haven't seen in months and months and months. And I'm looking at it like, and then I was like, turn it off. What is wrong with you? You know you're not supposed to be watching that. Turn it off. And these are the kind of things that I have to say to myself, to tell myself, turn that off. Like I'm having an altercation with myself. Like, turn that off. What is wrong with you? Turn it off. Make a conscious decision to turn that off because it's not bringing any glory to God. It's not good for me because if the Bible says, now the works of the flesh which are manifest are these, adultery, fornication, stealing, lying, heresy, all the other stuff that's in there, and then in the other, in Colossians and all the rest of the books of the Bible, that talks about these things, why then would you sit and watch these things that you know that are against God? So just for a moment, I kid you not, for a moment, And I'm like, what is wrong? Turn it off. Pick up the remote control and turn it to, you know, one of the Christian stations, you know, to get myself together. I'm sitting there like, you know, I mean, that fast. Just that fast. So I have not arrived. None of us have arrived. So we
nope.
constantly beating this flesh down. Paul said, I keep my body under. I keep
yes.
my body
yes.
under. He had to keep his flesh under subjection so that he wouldn't be a castaway. And I think about that scripture often. I don't want to be preaching the gospel to people. I don't want to be on Blog Talk Radio and on television and telling people all of this stuff, and then I want myself be a castaway. And I refuse that in the name of Jesus. All because of wanting to watch this program for a brief moment? Are you kidding me? No. See, but a lot of people don't understand this is why their minds wander, because of what are you looking at all day? What are you listening to all day? Maybe you're wondering why am I having these, you know, sexually explicit dreams? What are you looking at all day? What are you listening to? Who are you hanging around? Are they talking about that stuff? I mean, are you allowing that stuff into your ear gate? Are you listening to filthy jokes when people are talking? Well, you say, well, I'm not telling the joke, but what are you listening to? Are you allowing
right.
that into your space? Are you allowing that into your spirit? Are you allowing that? And we have to make sure that what we listen to, you know, is not the wrong stuff. I mean, we all know if we're on the bus, because I take public transportation, and if people are on the bus and they're cursing and carrying on, you hear that. But there are times where I totally block stuff out. I can block it out. I can block it out. I can block it out. But there are times that I can't. I can hear it. And then sometimes I'll catch myself just praying. I'll just break out and start praying because I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear it. God delivered me from that. I don't speak that way, and I don't want to hear it. But, you know, you can't make people stop talking the way they talk. That's what they do. But there's things that we have to do. We have to, you know, cover ourselves when we go out. We have to cover ourselves when we come back in. Lord, I was out today and, you know, all it is, whatever. Father, just cover me, keep me, whatever. You know, however we got to do it, but we got to make sure that we do that, because if we don't attack these things and they get inside of us and lay dormant, next thing you know, these things will pop up and you're wondering why you cursing now.
That's so true. Yeah.
I'm just saying, if I'm wrong, y'all can let me know. But
you're telling the truth.
Yeah, I think we got to be very careful. So I'm gonna be quiet and let y'all talk. Go ahead.
No, you're telling the truth. We gotta be careful what we allow. You know, it's just like on my job when I was working, people would sit around and curse all the time. And you're right, you can't tell people what to do. But one day I just made my mind and said, you know what? I would appreciate you don't curse around me. I know you curse, but don't curse around me. And I think we as Christians have that right. It's just like people who smoke. If you're a non-smoker and someone is sitting next to you smoking and the smoke bothers you, why would you want to sit there? So you have a choice. This is America. We have freedom of speech. You can tell that person, I would prefer you go and smoke someplace else or get away
right
from
now.
Me. Or you can get up and move away from them. You don't have to tolerate what society put in our faces. And I think that's another thing that we do. We tolerate too much what society brings to us, when in reality we don't have to tolerate what society brings to us.
Mm-hmm.
You don't like the cursing? Tell them to stop. You know, I was going in the mall last week, and there was a bunch of young kids. They was in this store, and they was cursing up the store. And there was this elderly lady in there, and I'm like, you know, but nobody said anything. The salespeople never said anything. And I'm like, you know what, this is an elderly lady. No one's going to speak up. And I just spoke up and I said, you know what, you guys need to have some respect. If you don't have it for yourself, then have it for this elderly lady. Because that's not right. Is that the only vocabulary you know? You've been going to school, that's all you know? You know nothing else? And it gives a person a chance to think. It's like, well, they might say, well, who does she think she is? But later on that day, you'd be surprised what you have already deposited into that person. And now that person's going to think, well, you know what? That person was right, which they said to me. I do need to watch my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
You never know what seeds you're planting. Even in something as small as that, you never know what seeds you're planting.
I believe that. I know I got fired from my job for saying that years and years ago. I was working at a newspaper in California, and the people would sit around and they would curse, and they would come in and talk about their escapades from the previous night, just explicit things they would talk about. And it used to disturb me. I'm like, why do y'all talk about this stuff? I don't want to hear this. So what I did was I began to speak with anybody that came in that wanted to put an ad in the paper, and if they were a Christian, I would sit there and talk to them about Jesus, you know, whatever, you know, while we're putting the ad in. Well, the person that sits next to me went and reported me, and my boss said, well, we have to let you go because you can't talk about Jesus in here. And I said, well, people curse all day long and talk about sex all day long, and you say nothing to them. You say nothing. They curse and all kind of explicit language in here, and you don't say anything, but I talk about Jesus and you fire me? I didn't have a chance to file a lawsuit, okay, because that was discrimination, okay? The place shut down. The place shut down.
Wow.
Went out of business, just boom, went out of business. Out of nowhere. Nobody saw this coming. They just went out of business. And I'm like, well, okay, thank you, Lord. I wasn't looking for people to lose a business, but, you know, they came against God. You can't say anything about Jesus. You can't talk about, but they can sit there and say all they want to say? We have to stand up. This is why that woman was able to take prayer out of the school.
Mm-hmm.
Because people were saying things behind the scenes, but nobody stood up to that devil. That's why people can't pray in school now. That's why if you want to pray in school, it's a fight for you to pray in school. They have a moment of silence, but they don't want to have any prayer in the school. But it took one woman to stand up and do what she did, and now it's no prayer in the school. Huh? Why? Because we're sitting in the background, and we don't want to say anything, but we're Christians.
We're
believers.
Scared.
We got the power. We got this. We got the authority of the name of Jesus, and we don't even use the authority of the name of Jesus. Why?
Yes.
Because our minds, we're scared. Oh, I better not say that. I better not do this because they're going to do this to me. Now, you done made up something in your whole mind that nobody's going to do to you, but because of fear and because of the way you're thinking, you don't want to say anything. Go ahead, Pastor Felicia.
No, I just want to say so. That's so true. You know, we walk around and we quote the scriptures, greater is he that is in me, and, you know, no weapon formed against us. But when it's time, when, you know, when opposition faces us, a lot of times we back down. And if we're going to quote the word, we got to stand on the word. If we want to trust God, we got to truly trust God, and we have to trust and believe that he'll do exactly what his word says. You know,
amen.
So.
Amen.
That's so true. We do back down.
Because people will tell us to stop talking about Jesus, won't they? They'll be like, I don't want to hear that. Or they'll get up and they'll move because they don't want to hear about Jesus. They don't want you to have on your music, your gospel music or your Christian music. They don't want you to have that on. I've had people get up and move away from me because I had my gospel music on. They didn't want to hear that. Like, are you serious? Okay, bye then, move.
But then you have the Muslims. You know, we can't pray or talk about Jesus or anything like that, but you have other religions, Muslims, whatever. Even on job places, you have the Muslims who can pray at 12. Go away and pray, and it's okay. But that's because the name of Jesus is so powerful. His name is so powerful. It's going to talk. It causes a reaction. It's either going to be a positive reaction or it's going to be a negative reaction. But his name is so powerful. Many times, you know, today you look around, you hear a lot of people talk about God, God, God. You can talk about God all day long. And it's so, in this day and time, you have to be like, okay, well, what God are they talking about? But you don't have a problem with people talking about God. Many people don't have a problem with people talking about God, but it's when the name Jesus that's mentioned, then that's lies because his name is so powerful and the enemy can't stand it. So, wow. Thank you, Lord. You know, we have to truly, if we're going to confess, profess ourselves to be Christians, if we're going to, you know, profess to believe and to trust God, then we truly have to stand and trust his word to do what it has been established to do. You know, we got to trust
up.
That he is who he said. Yeah, or shut up. That's right. Amen.
We got all this lip flapping going on. And then not standing up, you know, standing in defense of the word, or, you know, just a whole bunch of yip going on, you know, a whole bunch of the stuff, a lot of stuff I see on Facebook, a lot of things we see on Facebook, you know, and then we'll say a whole bunch of stuff on Facebook and then won't go out there and say anything to anybody.
That is so
true. You won't say anything to the person on the corner. When I was in the hospital this past week, I was in there and I was kind of upset because I didn't have any Bibles with me or any tracts or anything with me to minister to the people while I was in there for 5 days. But I was asking people, do you know Jesus? I'm like, excuse me, like stopping. I'm like, do you know Jesus? And I said, this is the reason why I'm in the hospital, because really nothing wrong with me, but you need to know who Jesus is. And this one guy said, well, his mother lives in my country. He said, but his mother lives in my country. I said, I don't know what you're talking about, Jesus' mother living in your country, but I need to know one thing. Do you know Jesus? Do you? That's all I want to know, is do you know Jesus? Okay? That's all I need to know. Do you know Jesus? Because if you don't, I can help you get to know him today. And he hurried up and got out my room, and I didn't see him anymore, so I don't know who he was, but he just kind of evaporated. He was gone. But I was asking people, do you know Jesus? Like, that was my mission. Like, do you know Jesus? And I don't know if they did or not, but I don't know if I planted a seed or watered a seed or whatever the case was, but do you know Jesus? See, we got to renew our minds and get our minds out of fear. We have to recondition our minds to not be fearful, to ask people, do they know Jesus? Because Satan don't care about saying what he says around us. So we got to be just as bold, but we got to recondition our minds. We have to retrain our minds. You know, we think, oh, well, if I say this, this is what they're going to say. And every single time that I said something to somebody, it was not anything that my mind thought they were going to say. But I allow my mind to think X, Y, Z, and a lot of times we allow our minds to think these things and it prevents us from doing what we're supposed to do because we've allowed our minds to think X, Y, Z. And in reality, that's not even what's going to happen anyway, but we have allowed, we've given our minds that space to think that. Now we have allowed ourselves to think that. Now we've convinced ourselves. We've convinced ourselves that whatever we were just thinking about is going to happen. We've convinced ourselves. And like Minister Desiree said, we a lot of times when we pray, we get up off the floor. We're not really sure God's going to answer that prayer because we've conditioned ourselves to think that, oh, I don't know. I prayed it, but I don't know. I don't know if he's really going to answer that prayer. Well, then what's the point of praying if you don't really think he's going to answer it? Whose time did you just waste? You didn't waste God's time. You just wasted your time.
Because it's a religion thing. See, it's religion that makes us say, oh, well, if something's going wrong, you're supposed to pray. Because we 80% of the things we worry about never takes place.
Exactly.
My pastor said that years ago. He said 80% of the things that you worry about never comes to pass.
That's
so
right.
So why do you spend 80% of your time worrying about all that stuff when only 10% of it actually going to happen?
Uh-huh.
Mama.
Because we have to retrain our minds. We have to retrain our minds. We got some work to do. We really have work to do. And
like
if we don't begin
to
do it, go ahead.
You mentioned about how we need to not just profess but actually do it. We don't want, not everyone, but most of us don't want to do it because, see, here's the thing. We have heard pastors and teachers taught us about what happened to the apostles. None of us are not trying to go to jail. Come on, would you go to a country and speak the gospel and then they throw you in jail? Oh, my God, that'd be the worst thing. I'm serving Christ and I get to be thrown in jail? Paul spent most of his entire life in jail, but still ministered through a pen. Stephen was stoned upside down. We don't want to go that way because we know that serving Christ means, man, you might go to jail. They might lock you up. They might think you're a cuckoo. They might think they might have to put you in a same asylum because they don't know what's wrong with you.
Right.
See, that's why we don't want to do too much of that professing because if I say it quietly over here in the corner, nobody hears me except my family. But if I have to stand out here and tell a coworker that I serve Jesus Christ, then I'm going to be marked.
Yeah.
But Jesus said that when they come to us, they despised and hated him before they even hated us. So it's us who they hate. It's him that is in us that they hate. Like she said, oh, they're the gods. There are a lot of gods out here, but nobody, you talk about Jesus, oh, no, you can get locked up and talk about Jesus because he has a lot of power. Nobody want to talk about him because they're afraid of him. But we want to live in a world where everybody has harmony. So let's just talk about God and let everybody have their own different gods they serve and get everybody on a different means. You're not getting everybody one way, you know? But we're afraid to stand up. And if we would do like 2 Chronicles 7:14 tell us, because that scripture is for the body of Christ, if we would do what it says, then God said he'll heal our land.
Yeah.
But we're not healing no land here because we're too afraid to do what we're supposed to do. You know, it's like the disciples was in the boat after Jesus fed the 5,000 and he told the disciples to gather up the scraps. Well, Jesus goes up to the mountaintop and pray, and here comes a storm, and by God being, Jesus being all-knowing, he knows that Peter's scared out of his wits, like, oh, God, he looks at God and looks at Jesus and said, well, you're a ghost. Well, you don't realize Jesus comes to you in different forms.
Mm-hmm,
so if he comes to you in different forms and he's trying to talk to you, Jesus is like, okay, I've heard your cry. You've been crying for days over this same problem. I'm here to answer your problem. Now I need you to do something. But we'll sit there with our hands full. They're like, well, Jesus, I'm waiting on you. I'm waiting on you. And Jesus said, well, I've been waiting on you for days.
Ooh.
You called me. You've been crying. And now I'm here. Now, why don't you do the very thing you need to do, and I'll do the rest. You want me to snatch you out of your situation? I need you to do something. You got to invite me in. You don't invite me in, I ain't coming in. Because he will not force himself in. So do
he
it.
Sure
won't.
Well, I think we just got told, yes. Hallelujah. I think we just got told. That's like the person that was in the water waiting to get rescued.
Mm-hmm.
And God sent the life jacket and they didn't want it and said, nope, God's going to deliver me. They didn't send the little rowboat and they didn't get in the boat and said, God's going to deliver me. And then God took the big ship and he wouldn't get the ship and he was like, no, my God going to deliver me, and then he drowned.
You know, God has got to sit back and have a sense of humor and just laugh at us sometimes. I bet you he'd be like, Lord, my child, my child, my child, my child.
I know he does. But he just look at me. It's just over. I just don't know what he thinks when he sees me sometimes. He's like, what is wrong with my daughter? What is wrong? Wake up, girl. Wake up. Wake up, little Susie. Wake up. And it's so funny, though, because I don't know what God was thinking when he made us, but he made us all individuals, and he made us so we can have a relationship with him. He doesn't, God is not a forceful God. He's not, like, I mean, that would be like somebody raping you, like somebody's just forcing you. I'm going to force you to love me. That's not real love if somebody's forcing you to do that. It's not love at all. If they're forcing you to show affection, that's not love at all. You're just doing something because somebody's making you do it. But once we begin to fall in love with God, when we begin to fall in love with who he is, when we begin to fall in love with how much God loves us, that he sent him, he came down here, he just left glory, you know, and came down in the form of flesh, came down, Jesus, this is this Jesus that we talk about. Once we begin to get in his word and know who he is and begin to understand what he did for us, we will fall in love with him. Oh, yeah, we will fall in love with him. Just when you sit down and sometimes think about, if we would train our minds to think about the goodness of Jesus, if we, instead of just letting it be a cliche, but if we would train our minds, if we want to wonder and wander, let our minds wander, let us, our minds wander, you know, through the scriptures and just think about what the word of God says that he did for us. How he's delivered us, how he's kept us free, how he's kept us safe from danger, seen and unseen. We say these things religiously in prayer so many times that we really don't understand that God really did keep us safe from danger, seen and unseen. He really did. Because when we left out our house and came back home, we don't know what was set up for us, you know, out there by the enemy. But he got us back home safely. He kept us safe. And we, I mean, things are such a cliche. And I think on Friday's broadcast, we named it conditioned by tradition. We've been so conditioned by tradition. that we can't even hear God talking to us because we've been so conditioned by religion and tradition. We've been conditioned. Our mind's been so trained to think this way and act this way that God's trying to tell us something different and we can't even hear him because religion and tradition has told us to do it this way for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And God's trying to talk to us. He's trying to commune with us. But we so busy talking and we so busy listening to what this person say and that person say and everybody else say, we can't hear God.
Mm-mm.
We haven't trained our ear to really hear God. And like we said on yesterday, a lot of times you hear people say, something said. Huh? Something said. Yeah, something told me not to go there. Something told me not to do that. Something told me to pray right now. Something told you? That's what your relationship is with God? That he's been relegated to a something?
Something? Uh-oh. What's up?
Because we haven't trained our minds to really hear him. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, and another they won't follow. We got to train our minds to know his voice. We got to train our ears to hear his voice and know his voice because there's so many voices out here. It's our voices, the voice of the enemies, okay? It's other people's voices. There's God's voice, the voice of the Holy Spirit. But if we don't know him, come on now.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be a sad mother if my baby was in the store crying. I didn't know that was my baby. Or if my baby was across the room crying, I didn't know that was my baby. That's a sad mother.
Yeah,
you don't really
sad.
Know the cry of your baby.
That's, because we know even the cries, they all sound the same to other people, but we as a mother know what type of cry it is. We know if they're hungry. We know if they're, you know, sick. We know if they're sleepy. You know, so, wow. Praise God.
But, I tell you, God is good.
We got to know his voice.
Yeah, we better know his voice. We don't know his voice now. How can I ask y'all a question, ladies? I just have to ask
that question.
How is it? And I really need y'all, I don't know how y'all want to do it. I really need somebody to come on the broadcast and teach this thing because I think people are tired of hearing me say it. I want to know one thing. How is it that we think we're going to reside in heaven with God, a holy God? I want to know. I'm serious. How we think we're going to abide and reside with him in heaven, eternally, okay? We don't even know him. We don't even obey him. We don't want to do what he tells us to do. How is it that we think he's just going to open the pearly gates and let us in, and we down here living it up, doing what we want to do, don't want nobody to say anything to us, don't want anybody to read the word to us or even speak the word, just let him do it. How is it that we think we're going to enter in heaven still living the way we live? I just need to know. Because somebody's out here teaching a lie. Somebody's teaching a false doctrine. Somebody's out here teaching heresy that you can just do what you want to do because in the end, everybody's going to heaven.
Mm-mm. Nope.
Right. We know everybody ain't going to heaven. Even if you happen to be born again, if you're living wrong, you're not going to heaven. But if you live according, if you're born again and, you live, and you're living exactly to the best of your ability to God's word, but God knows we're not going to live it 100% perfect. Not in this flesh, we can't. That would be impossible.
Exactly.
Because if that would be the case, then there would be no need for Christ to even come to earth. So
thank
if we
you.
Live the best that we can and always continue to pray, I believe you can make it and live with God and reign for eternity because you will no longer be in the flesh. See, it's the flesh that causes us to sin. Once the spirit is removed from the flesh, and the spirit and the body is in the ground, and the spirit is with God, you won't have that desire to sin. Because you can't. Because you will have the spirit of Christ. The reason why, and you might say, well, doesn't the spirit live inside me? Yes, the spirit lives inside you, but see, God still gives you a free will. When you die and your spirit is with God, there's no such thing as a free will. All that's gone. You won't need that. Because you automatically do the right thing. Does that make sense?
It does. It really does. It really does.
Good, because I even came up with that one.
Yeah, well, can you come on next Wednesday? Look, can you come on the broadcast next Wednesday? Come on, can you come on next Wednesday and talk about that?
Why, you talked about it and nobody believes you?
It's people tired of hearing me say it. And maybe if somebody else says it, that, you know, I mean, seriously, people.
Why do you never try to hear you saying it, Teresa?
Because their attitude and their actions, so y'all don't see what I see. And my family, I was talking to one of my family members today that was over here, and they'd be like, it don't take all that. It's not that. No, we're going to, no, you're not going to heaven anyway. You cannot continue to live.
Remember, too, Teresa, everybody is, you got to also remember, people grow different in God at different levels. And I believe, think about when you first got saved. You probably didn't understand that concept either, because I know I didn't. But the more hungrier a person becomes for God's heart, the more they start seeing God's heart for what it really is. And then they start seeing their own heart as being wicked, and they start killing off what's not a part of God. Every day we start killing off. That's why you are able to teach and say what you said about how you're going to live for God in heaven, and people look at you and think, well, I'm born again, I'm still getting to heaven. Well, that's because people have been taught wrong. They think just because I'm born again, I'm automatically getting in heaven. Well, I'm sorry, but
right.
If you commit fornication, you're going out here killing and adultery and all that, no, you ain't going to heaven because in that case, Jesus didn't have to die for you.
That's the part I'm talking about right there, and you just said it because that's what I've been saying. Why did Jesus have to die? Why did Jesus have to come and sacrifice his life for us?
Because
everybody could do what they want to do.
Okay, then that has to go back to the book of Genesis. Because that's where it all started. Genesis chapter 1, where it started with Adam and Eve. He wanted, well, not chapter 1, because that's when he's creating earth. But he wanted us to have communion. And because of their sin, that broke the relationship of communion. So he had to have that reconciliation with us. Because remember, when he created us in his and their image. So he put a spirit on the inside of us. That spirit requires relationship with God.
This is why I need you to come and teach this on next Wednesday.
Girl, I think you're doing a perfect job as a teacher. They just keep praying about it. They're going to get it. Some people are not going to get it. You know, there are some pastors that don't even get that. Because,
that's a shame.
How hungry a person is for God. If you are so tired of being sick and tired, you just want, you got to make God your everything, and which means you want to read his word, you got to find out and recognize that, you know what, I was wrong. But you got to look at it. A lot of times when churches get the altar call, they'll tell people to come get saved, and they put this guilt trip on them that if they don't soon get saved, they're going to hell tomorrow, which is true.
Right.
They can't go to hell tomorrow.
Right.
But here's the thing. They don't teach them nothing after salvation.
They don't teach them nothing.
Well, you need to come to Bible study. I need to get you into discipleship. When you become a child of God, you must be discipled. I don't care who you are. You have to be discipled. Because if you're not discipled, how are you going to know the word of God if you're not discipled? How are you going to know about the relationship that you have with God? How are you going to know how to take care of the church family? How are you going to know how to deal with evangelism? How are you going to evangelize? That's what discipleship is all about. Jesus discipled every last one of his disciples.
Yes, he did.
But we don't do that. We just want to get them saved, put it on the book. Yep, so when the director, the head of that church look at it, they got a lot of people that came and joined the church. A lot of people got saved. How many actually got discipled? We don't tell them that you got to be discipled. Because, see, if they got discipled, then they will know that I can't continue living the life that I'm living. Not that it's going to happen overnight, but there are some things I'm going to have to give up. Now, I do believe that once a person gets saved, there are some things you can give up right away.
When I first got saved,
one thing I did give up right away, and that was cursing. I gave that up immediately. Now, the smoking cigarettes, that took a while because I was like, Lord, you know how bad I love these things. So that took a little bit. But eventually, God got my attention, and I know that I was wrong, and I stopped doing that. Like, I had to get delivered from it. Just like with lust. Mm-hmm. Lust used to be a hard thing for me. And I mean, that took years because I was like, man, I just love lusting so much. And God had to really, I had to go to a deliverance service in order to get delivered from lust. I could not go to a regular Sunday service to get delivered from it because they weren't teaching it there. I had to go to, I hate to say it, but I had to go to a Pentecostal church in order to be delivered from lust. Because the churches I was going to, they didn't believe in deliverance of lust because they never talked about it. But when I went to a Pentecostal church, they talked about that. And they said, anybody here that deals with lust and you want to be delivered, tonight's your night. And here's the enemy talking in my mind. Girl, you better not go up there. Them people will think you crazy. Now everybody goes, no, you can't keep your legs closed. And I was like, you know what? Right. Devil, forget you. I want this. of going from man to man. I need to stop this. I am making a mockery out of God. I want to live holy, and lust is not making me live holy. And that's when I got delivered. And I was so glad that that happened.
Wow. See, now that right there, that's a testimony. That would set somebody free right there, just that, saying that.
Yeah.
You know, because a lot of times, and this is what I hate, this is what I hate so much, when people, even when they do it on TV, oh, now repeat this after me, and now you're saved, and now you're born again, and then you leave them hanging. There's nothing left. That's all it is? That's the end of the story?
That's just the beginning of your journey.
Why are you telling these people that? You tell them to repeat this after me. 9 times out of 10, they don't even know what they're saying. They're just saying it because you told them to repeat it. And now they don't have a Bible. Did you give them one?
Nope.
They came to the church, they came to the altar and got saved, but did you follow up with them? Have you called them? Have you seen them in church since they came to the altar? If you haven't, have you called them to find out, you know, is everything okay? You know, I think you should be in church, like you said, so you can be disciples, so you can learn who Jesus is, learn, you know, what God requires of us, holiness or whatever. No, we don't do that. We just, they came to the altar, hallelujah, glory to God, and everybody go home, and then it's church as usual.
But see, if you don't follow up with new converts, if you give them a month, if you don't follow up, they will go back to their same life. They're no different than a drug addict. They'll go back to familiar. They will go back to it. And then they will think that, the church ain't nothing. I got saved, but I don't feel no different. I still got to deal with these demons that I got that come bother me every night. Drugs, calling my name, crack calling my name. You know, I'm still cussing people out. I don't know how to handle my child. You know, what am I supposed to do? And the church is nowhere to give them the answers, letting them know that the answers sound right in God's word. So if they don't know where to find answers, they're going to go to some place that's going to give them a Band-Aid to cover up the pain if it's nothing but for an hour.
That's right. That's right.
The church got to follow up. We got to follow up. But you know what? We can't just blame the church because, see, the congregation is the church as well. So when the congregation see a new convert get converted, someone, it shouldn't always be laity to go to them. It should be members of that church going to that person after service saying, congratulations, welcome to the family, God. Here's my phone number. I'm going to call you. Give me your number. Let's exchange numbers. Hey, how about I call you next week? We go out to lunch. We should be in contact with them. Why do we want to put it all on the church? Because remember, the church is not just those in laity. The church is the whole body. Because the arm can't say to the leg, I don't have no need of thee, when it does. We all need each other. So the congregation need to take a part of it, too. If they do their part, if everybody did their part, we wouldn't have all these people that are slipping through the cracks.
If we are in a church, and I'm glad the chat room cleared out, but if we're in a church where, and I've had this happen, I was in a church where the pastor straight up told us, if somebody gets saved, I'm the pastor, you don't say nothing to them.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. We were not allowed to talk to these people outside of church because the pastor thought that if you were talking to them, that you were counseling them. So you couldn't call them up and say, hey, how you doing? I mean, you could say how you doing, but you couldn't go anywhere beyond that because the pastor would think that you were trying to counsel them and trying to be the pastor.
Well, I wouldn't want to be at that church, I'm curious.
Oh, I'm not anymore.
Yeah.
I would have to leave because that's not right.
Yeah.
And this is one reason why this same church has no growth. Nobody ever comes there and stays because this is always what happens. I'm the pastor, and because I'm the pastor, then this is how I say do it. I had family members that went there and went up to the altar and did the I'm saved thing, you know, I got saved or whatever. There was never any follow-up. They have not received one phone call from anybody from that ministry.
Oh, wow.
Not one. Not one. Not one.
Well, they're going to get it because God talks about that his, that those people who are sheep are the pastors. If the shepherd is not looking after his flock, God will definitely hold them accountable because the blood will be on their hands.
Uh-huh.
I just don't want to be in line when they're in line when God's dealing with them.
And I said, wow. All I could say was, wow, you the pastor, I'm not going to really fight you, but I don't got to be here.
Mm-hmm.
That's sad.
That hurt my heart really bad because it's like, how does it that you, I mean, you already say you won't have time to do this, that, and the other. How is it that you can say that? Don't say anything to the people. I'm the pastor, but you never have any, you don't have any new members class. You don't have any discipleship class. You don't have any baptisms. You don't have anything to teach these people this thing. You don't do that. But I'm crazy.
No, I don't think you're crazy.
No,
This is what these people thought, and this is another reason why I don't go there. But I see this, like, a lot. I see this a lot. People will tell people to come to the altar, and then there's no discipleship after that. They just leave you hanging. Like, okay, what do I do?
Don't have discipleship classes. They don't sing it because remember, God. Most of these churches out here nowadays are just man-made religion to begin with. So most of them not going to follow God's word to the letter. So they're not going to have discipleship classes. They don't even offer. Some of them don't even believe in it. I mean, most of them don't even believe in the Holy Spirit. So if they don't believe in the Holy Spirit, then they ain't going to have no discipleship class. Because that whole thing with discipleship class is talking about the Holy Spirit. So if you don't believe in him, you know, and you got Christians that will tell you, well, I don't need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Well, didn't Paul ask John, have you not received since you've been saved? I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Have you received the gift? Yeah, I received the gift. So...
Well, this has been, I really enjoyed this broadcast tonight. I really did. And I really did. So it's 14 minutes left, but we're going to go. The people in the chat room just left. Everybody left the chat room. It's just a ghost town. Everybody is going. But we're going to talk some more and continue the conversation. We're going to continue to read this book, The Battlefield of the Mind. And we want to see if we can get some more people to listen, because a lot of people tell me they want to hear the book, but then they don't show up. But that's okay, because God is going to ordain what he wants to happen. So, again, on tomorrow night, we're supposed to be interviewing Ernest Pugh. I don't know if he's going to come because he didn't show up the last time, but he said he had a schedule conflict. So we're going to see if he shows up tomorrow night. And if he does, good. If he doesn't, good. We'll just continue like we did before. And God still will get the glory and do what he needs to do in the lives of whoever tunes in. Starting with me, hallelujah, got my hand raised. Amen.
Amen.
This phone has been ringing off the hook ever since I've been on this broadcast. So what we're going to do is we're just going to end the broadcast because we already prayed, and we prayed and asked God to save souls, and I believe it's done. Pastor Felicia, you know we're praying with you and for your daughter.
Yeah.
We will be in the Lord says the same, we'll be in the morning at prayer at 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock prayer. and then whatever the Lord says after that. So, you know, if we agree, we're just going to end the broadcast now. And I thank everybody for joining us. Thank you for joining us. And we look forward to fellowshipping again very, very soon.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Good night, ladies. God bless you.
Good night.
Good night.
God bless.
All right. Bye-bye.